Well, we're going to think for a few moments about some words that were written by the Apostle Paul to a young Christian leader called Timothy. And Paul wrote two letters to him, and in one of the letters he said this: "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And then he added, "Of whom I am the worst." Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. The Christian message is a message. It's a saying. Before ever it was written down in what we have as in our Bibles, it was a spoken word. It was a proclaimed word. Paul talks about it as a saying. A message which was passed from one person to the next that had to do with Jesus Christ. And Paul said that this saying is a trustworthy saying. It's a saying that we can build our confidence on, that is absolutely true, and that can change our lives. And that's particularly important in the kind of world we are living in, because there's a skepticism about the 21st century in the Western world. There's a cynicism. Who can you believe? Who tells you the truth? Sometimes they have polls about which professions are least trusted, and often politicians come quite low down in the list. Journalists come quite low down in the list. You read the papers, but you can't believe everything you read in the papers. You can't believe everything the politicians tell you. And so we're used to taking things, we might say, with a pinch of salt. We don't really take it seriously. We're not sure what the truth actually is, or that anybody is telling us the whole truth. Or they're just telling us that little bit that they want us to hear. But this is a trustworthy saying. It's a faithful saying. It's absolutely true. And we can stake our life upon it. And Paul wants Timothy to know that, and he wants him to proclaim that same message as Paul himself had proclaimed it. And it's a message about a person. Paul calls him Christ Jesus. In his letters, he sometimes says Christ Jesus, he sometimes says Jesus Christ, he sometimes says the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's speaking about the same person. He's Christ Jesus. The word Christ means Messiah. He's chosen by God, anointed by God to come into this world. If you read in the Bible, right at the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, there's a wonderful promise that is made. As Adam and Eve were sent out of the presence of God because they had disobeyed his command, with all the consequences of what was going to happen, they had disobeyed him, and now they would die, and all who were born into this world would die. They were given a promise that one day there would be someone born of a woman who would crush the serpent's head. One day a deliverer will come. One day a savior will come. And for centuries, people waited for the savior to come, for the Messiah to come, the anointed one, the Christ. And they longed for his coming. Jesus once spoke to a woman, a Samaritan woman, at a well. And as he was speaking to her, she said this. She said, "We know that Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he'll explain everything to us. We're waiting for him to come." And this trustworthy saying is saying, he's come. In fact, Jesus said to that woman, as she said, "We know Messiah is coming," he said, "I who speak to you am he." You see, it's telling us that Jesus existed before he came into this world and was born as a baby. He is the eternal Son of God. Sometimes we say that God became a man. It's not really that. It's the Son of God who became a man. The second person of the three in one God. There is only one God. But that one God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, he was baptized in the river, and as he came up out of the water, a voice from heaven spoke, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." That was the Father speaking. And a dove descended and rested on him, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. God is one, but he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's the Son of God who came. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so before ever he came into this world, before ever he was conceived in the womb of Mary, Jesus was the eternal Son of God. And so when he came into this world, without ceasing to be the eternal Son of God, he took a human nature. And he became a human being and was born as all babies are born, and was laid in a manger by his mother. He is the Christ. He's the promised one. God has broken into this world. And we live in a day, don't we, when people want to know whether there's life out in space. And they do amazing things when they get little probes the size of a dishwasher to land on a comet going at an amazing speed. And we're all amazed that they can get it to do it. And then the hope is that that little probe will somehow find some secrets of the origins of life. And perhaps it will tell us something about the nature of our universe. But at Christmas, what we're remembering is that the God who made all things, the God who is in heaven, he's come to this world. He's spoken in his Son. He's told us what he is like. Because Jesus said on one occasion, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm the Son. I'm just like my Father. And I've come so that you might know what God is like and his gracious purposes for this world." Here's a trustworthy saying. Someone has come. Who is he? He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one anointed by God who's come from heaven to earth. And he's pleased as man with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. He's God with us. And he's Christ Jesus. His name is Jesus. And that name speaks of the fact that he's a savior. Joseph was told, "You shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So the eternal Son of God has come into this world in order to accomplish a great rescue mission. He's come to be a savior. And so his name has that wonderful meaning. When we call him Jesus, we're reminding ourselves that he is the savior. Because Paul's saying goes on, here's the trustworthy saying, Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners, to save. He came with this wonderful purpose. You know, all over the world, people are afraid of the spirit world. Just a few weeks ago, I was in Papua, in Indonesia, and amongst the tribal people who have now heard the gospel and their lives have been wonderfully transformed. They were there rejoicing in the Bible being given to them, and it had been translated into their language, and they had their spears, but they don't use their spears anymore to kill people. But once they did. They fought each other. They fought against other tribes. They were afraid. They were afraid of the spirit world, that they had displeased the spirits, that the spirits were angry with them, and so they would offer sacrifices to them. And you know, in our Western world, people are full of fear. Fear about what's going to happen, fear about my health, fear about the future, fear about how I'm going to die, what will happen after I die. Behind our sophisticated veneer, there are all kinds of fears. And God sent his Son into this world to be a savior. He came to deliver us from that fear. He came to reconcile us to himself. In fact, as you read this verse in the Greek language, which it was originally given in, it says, Christ Jesus came into the world sinners to save. Isn't that an amazing thing? The Son of God came to save sinful people. Sinful people like you and me. You see, those who are important in this world, they don't bother with ordinary people. They don't bother with people who've broken the law, people who've done wrong, people who've been disgraced. But the amazing thing is that this heavenly visitor, this royal visitor who came into this world, came specifically in order to help sinful people, those who don't deserve anything. Perhaps you've got a list of presents that you're going to get, or perhaps you've already got them and you're going to give to people. And perhaps you put next to them how much you're going to spend on each person. And the most important people, the people you love most, who love you, well, you're going to spend quite a lot on them. I wonder, who's the person who you dislike most? Who's that person perhaps in work or a neighbor, and you really can't stand them? Are you going to give them a present? Say, no, of course not. I don't like them. They're not my friends. I only give my presents to friends. And the more they're my friends, the more I spend on them. The amazing thing about Jesus coming into this world is that he came for those who are enemies of God, because that's what we are in our hearts. It's a strange thing how when we begin to think about God and about the fact that we're sinful people, we can quite easily get angry. We don't like preachers talking about that, because we want to be free. We want to live our own life. We want to do our own thing. The wonderful thing is that when Jesus came into this world, he came with the intention of helping and of changing sinful people. In fact, one of the accusations made against him was that this man eats with tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors were traitors collecting Roman taxes. And sinners were notorious people who were guilty of all kinds of immorality and dishonesty. And in fact, he said himself, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came to call us to change our mind, to change our heart, to change our direction, to go in a new way. Do you sometimes long that you could have a new beginning in life? Do you ever look in the mirror sometimes and think, I don't actually like me? I don't like the things I say. I don't like the things I do. I don't like the way I've been living my life. But the problem is we can't change it. You know, you say things and you wish you hadn't said them. And you do things and you wish you didn't do them. And at Christmas, people go out and they go out to celebrate and they drink too much and they regret it. And they say, I'm not going to do that again. But they do it again and again and again. We can't change ourselves. And God sent his Son into this world in order that we might change. He came not for righteous people, but for people who are sinners and who know their sin and want to change and want to be different. And he gives us the power to change. He breaks the power of sin in our lives. He sets us off in a new direction. And it's because of what he did as he, at the end of his life, went to the cross. You see, he lived for 30 years in this world. We don't know a great deal about what he did during those 30 years, at least most of them. But every day, he was living a perfect life. Every day, he was doing what God, his Father, required of him, keeping the commands, and never, ever breaking any of God's commands. And he did that because it was only as a perfect man that he would be able to die on the cross for your sins and for mine. One of our hymns says, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. That's what he came to do. He came to save. How can we be saved? Well, our sins must be punished. There's a penalty for breaking sins. I was watching a program on the television this week, and there were some motorway police, and they'd spotted a man who wasn't wearing his seatbelt, and they'd pulled him over. And they said, well, you know, why weren't you wearing your seatbelt? And he made an excuse. And they said, oh, they always make excuses, but we're going to punish him anyway. And he had a fine for what he had done. Or perhaps he went on a course. It's only a small thing. Ah, but he'd broken the law. And there are consequences to breaking the law. It's interesting, though, people sometimes say, well, I'll be saved by what I do. I'll be saved by obeying the law. But we don't obey it, we break it. And all the law can do is condemn us and say you did wrong, didn't you? And you must suffer the consequences. And there are consequences to breaking God's law. But the amazing thing is that God sent his Son into this world in order that he might suffer in our place. That he might experience the penalty that our sins deserve. In order that we might be saved. That is, that we might be forgiven, that our guilt might be taken away, that the power of sin might be broken in our lives, that we might be reconciled to God and be going in a whole new direction. One of our hymns spoke about the fact that Jesus is a living person and he enters into our experience. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him. Still, the dear Christ enters in. And those who are Christians here this evening, that's what's happened. We are what we are, not because we are better than anybody, because we're not. But because the Lord Jesus Christ has become our Savior. And he become your Savior too. That's why he came into this world. This trustworthy saying is about Christ Jesus. And he entered into our world. He lived our life. In order that he might save us, that he might be a savior. Sinners to save. And it's a wonderful thing to know that you've been saved, you've been delivered. You know, sometimes people are diagnosed with a very serious illness. And it may be life-threatening. And then they're told, well, we're going to give you some treatment. And they have the treatment, and the treatment may be very harsh and very difficult. But it's all to deal with the disease. And then they go and they have some tests. And then they're told, well, we've got good news for you. You've been cured. There's no sign of the disease anymore. And you feel that immense relief. Suddenly the burden is lifted. And you can start thinking about your life again and the future. And it's like that when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've been saved from your sin. You're still sinful. You still break God's commands, but those sins have been forgiven. And you've got peace with God. And you've got the hope of heaven. And that's why he came. Christ Jesus came into the world, sinners, to save. And then Paul adds this, of whom I am the worst. Or I am the chief. And a lot of people discuss that and say, well, was he really the worst? Were there not other people who did worse things than he did? Well, he certainly wasn't a very nice man to know. He was a persecutor of the church. He traveled to foreign cities in order he might arrest people and put them in prison because they believed in Jesus. And he was there when Stephen, who was a godly man, was condemned to die, and Paul held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. And he agreed that Stephen deserved to die. So yes, he'd done some terrible things, but why does he say, of whom I am the worst? I think at least in part it's because he knew his own sin much more clearly than he knew the sins of anybody else. I don't know your heart, and you don't know my heart. But we know our own hearts. We know the things we think. We know the struggles we have. We know the temptations we have. We know the things of which we're ashamed, the things that make us feel guilty. And you know, when you feel your sin, when you realize it, when you face it, you realize there's nothing you can do. You can't change. And it makes you feel miserable. But it makes you feel hopeless. And there are times when you you see yourself and I see myself, and we long that we weren't like that, that we could be different. But Paul says, you know, I'm the worst, in order that in God's grace to me, people might see God's unlimited patience. If he could save me, then he can save anybody else. And you know, that's a great encouragement to us, isn't it? There's no one who is so bad that God cannot save them. There's nobody who's committed such terrible sins that God cannot forgive them. No one who is so guilty that the death of Jesus Christ is not enough for their sins to be forgiven. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, his death on the cross, cleanses us from all sin. And Paul is saying, so there's hope for us all. If I have been saved, he says, well, there's every reason for everyone else in the world to believe that God is able to save them too. You see, often people think that Christian people are sort of better people. They go to church, they live better lives, that's the idea. Somehow they didn't need to be forgiven, but that's not the truth. The truth is that every one of us needs to be forgiven. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And no matter what you've done, no matter how serious the sins you have committed are, no matter how frequent they are, Jesus Christ is able to save you and to forgive you and to give you peace with God. He's God's wonderful gift to this world. And it speaks to all kinds of people in every age and generation, in the West, in the East, in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, because the need of every human being is the same. We need to know God, and we need to find peace with him, to know that he's with us every day of our lives, and when we die, he will be with us and take us to heaven. And Paul says it's a trustworthy saying. It's absolutely true. And then he said this, didn't he? It's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And that's the challenge, isn't it? Do we accept it? See, it's possible to come and say, well, that's all very interesting, you know. I perhaps understood a little bit more about why Jesus came into the world. But Paul is saying that Jesus coming, this saying about him and explaining why he came, is something which we either accept or we don't. And that's where the challenge comes, doesn't it? Because often people say, but I don't want my life to change. I want to carry on the way I am. And what that means is I want to carry on breaking God's commands. I want to carry on in my sin. And people often think that that's the way to be free. But it isn't. In fact, it's just the old habits of our bondage. We just keep on doing the same things. And there's no way through and there's no hope. And people say, well, if I became a Christian, would my life change? Yes, it will change. Will it change a little? No, it'll change a lot. It'll be a whole new direction. And there'll be things that you no longer want to do. And there'll be things that you want to throw out and be rid of forever. And there'll be new things that you'll do. Because God says that we must love him with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and all our mind. He wants every part of us. And Paul is saying, that's it, you see, it's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. I want to ask you tonight, have you recognized that this saying about Jesus is trustworthy? It's absolutely true. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world to save sinners. And if you know that it's true, have you fully accepted? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? In one sense, it's very simple, and yet it's of eternal significance. A couple of weeks ago, there was a wedding here in the church, and a man and a woman came into the church as two people, and then they were asked some questions, and they made promises, and they went out as husband and wife. The two had become one, simply because they made promises. And you know, there are people who have become Christians because where they sat in a church, or perhaps at home in their bedroom, or perhaps in their car, they realized that Jesus had come into this world to save them. They realized that they were sinful, and they spoke to God. And they said, "Heavenly Father, I have broken your commands. I don't deserve to be your son or your daughter. Thank you for sending Jesus into this world to die for me. Please forgive me and accept me and make me your child." And he did, and he does. And he hears prayers like that, because that's where we bow the knee. Our stubborn wills are broken. And we say, "Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for you." Have you ever said that? "Come, enter in, be born in me, and give me that new life." Because Paul says that there is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And none of us is so bad that he cannot save us, that he will not save us, if we invite him to come and to be our Savior. May this Christmas time you perhaps respond to him in a way you've never responded before, and may it be beginning of a new life, which will begin now and will last forever and forever. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let's sing our closing hymn now. It's number 216. "Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee." Hymn 216.